prayer request.
Did you get that one that I sent you this morning?
No. Did you send a messenger?
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever check my messenger.
Oh.
You
want
to say it? Or
find it.
I'll go ahead and start over here.
We want to continue to pray for Viola Romero. Mm-hmm. We've been praying for her for a few weeks. Okay. She's had an infection. And it was cleared up last week, and they were planning to transfer her to the rehab wing here, okay. But the infection returned.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
We want to pray for Derek Taylor. He has a doctor appointment today that he's anxious about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We want to pray for Denise Crumwide, Casey Romberg's mom, who has discovered a brain tumor. She's in the hospital for meds and observation okay. with surgery scheduled for tomorrow, February
okay.
14th. And we want to pray for complete healing for Lisa Mormon, who was airlifted Saturday night and had hernia repair surgery Sunday morning.
Okay, okay. Praise God. All right. All right. Well, let's go to the throne room. Father, we thank you and praise you, God, that, Lord, you have called us to pray to you, because you not only hear, but you answer. So God, we know that we're not just lifting something up with a wish in our heart, but God, we are coming to your throne boldly because of what Jesus Christ has done. He's opened the doorway so we could come boldly before you. And right now, God, we're coming into your presence as your daughters. God, we thank you that we can bring these petitions before you. God, that we can lift these people before you. God, they are in need. And Father, they're reaching out. And I know they've already been called on you from the throne room. But God, we're joining with them today. We join our voices with them. We join our hearts with them. And we come and lift them before you and ask you, God, to turn their situations around. Father, right now we want to lift up Viola. God, you know that she's been battling an infection. I thank you and praise you, God, that you had turned this thing around. That infection had left her body. Now, Father, we know that even when we're dealing with demonic stuff, that stuff will leave, but it'll come back and try to get back in. And so, Father, we know even sickness can do that. And so, Father, right now we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and we lift Viola before you. Father, we ask you to drive out all infection once and for all in Jesus' name. God, I ask you to send the blood of Jesus to cleanse her. The blood of Jesus cleanses all things. So right now, blood of Jesus, we ask you to go through Viola's body. Drive out all infection in Jesus' name. Cleanse her body completely of anything that is not to be there in Jesus' name. Now, right now, we come and we speak in the authority that we've been given in Jesus' name. And we come against this infection. Infection, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. You have no right to a daughter of the Most High's body. Her body belongs to Jesus Christ. Her body belongs to the Father. In fact, Jesus Christ dwells in her and he is walking the earth through her. So her body has become his body and he is whole and healed in Jesus' name. And so infection, we say, leave her body right now in Jesus' name. In fact, I break that infection right now in Jesus' name. We break it off of her once and for all in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that the name of Jesus does this. We don't have any power in ourselves. We only have power in the name of Jesus. And so, God, right now, we thank you that the name of Jesus is enough. Jesus, we speak Jesus over this body right now. And we thank you and praise you. We declare that the infection is driven out in Jesus' name. That infection has broken its hold over her, and it is leaving right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. God, right now we lift up Derek Taylor. We thank you and praise you that you know his end from the beginning. God, you saw that this day was going to come up. Father, that he was going to have to go to the doctor today and deal with some things. You already know the outcome of today's doctor's appointment. So, Father, right now we just ask you to give him that peace that passes all understanding. Because, God, you promised that you're going to take all things and work them together for good. And so, God, right now, we ask you to work all this out for Derek Taylor's good right now. Father, I don't know Derek, but, God, I know he's in your hands. So, Father, right now, I ask you to turn his heart to you like never before. I speak peace to Derek's mind, his heart, and God, we ask you to cause all fear to be driven out in Jesus' name. God, we ask you to cause peace to set up as guard over his heart again. Sentinel of peace, stand up over his heart and mind and guard. Don't let that fear come back in. Don't let that anxiety come back in. Peace belongs to him. Jesus said, my peace I have given to you. Father, your word says that Jesus gave us his peace, so we call back the peace of Christ to Derek right now. Father, I thank you that you're over this. God, we ask for for a good report. God, we ask you to turn this thing around and use it for good. We speak wholeness and healing over his body in Jesus' name. Father, right now we want to lift up Denise. We thank you and praise you that, once again, this thing didn't take you by surprise. Brain tumors might take us by surprise, but you knew it all along. God, you knew from the beginning of time this was going to be something she came up against. And so, Father, right now we rebuke cancer. We rebuke in the name of Jesus this brain tumor, and we command it to shrink and leave this body. I thank you for putting doctors in place who can begin to go in there and remove this. Now, Father, we ask you to guide the doctor's hands, the anesthesiologist, the nurse, anybody over her care. Guide their hands, give them wisdom, knowledge, discernment from your spirit to know how to help her. And God, that you will go in and be the great physician, gently removing that thing. And God, we've seen you do it even with our sister in Christ. God, we prayed her husband was even praying it, that we would see that the doctors would go in there and that thing would fall right out. So we asked the same thing. God, that thing would not be attached to anything, that it would just be able to fall right into their hands and come out, that there would be no attachment in the brain. God, that it would not cause any more trouble. And we ask for no residual side effects at all from this in Jesus' name, that she will go in, come out better than she went in, and God, that she will recover quickly in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for it, and we give you praise. Now, Father, we want to lift up Lisa, who was airlifted Saturday night. God, you know she had a hernia repair surgery Sunday morning. Now, Father, we ask you to cause her to recover quickly. Father, we thank you that you watched over her. God, once again, these things take us by surprise, but they don't take you by surprise. So, Father, we thank you that you were watching over her. God, this thing didn't take her out. God, it could have, but it didn't, because you were with her. And God, we thank you that even this shall turn for her good. So, Father, cause her body to recover. God, give her strength. I know sometimes when we're in surgery and we go through these things, our body gets, it has some weakened state, God, just from not using the muscles. And so, God, we ask you to strengthen her body. I also want to lift up Brother Craig, one of my brothers in Christ. He's in the hospital right now, but God, we say he is whole and healed in Jesus' name. We thank you that, God, you have completed the work in his body. God, we thank you that his appetite is returning. We thank you that he is able to do all things well, Father. And God, he is able to get up again and walk and have the strength he needs. God, I thank you that you are the one who's begun the good work and you're completing it. And so we're just declaring it by faith. He's whole and healed in Jesus' name, and everything has come back to normal because of the blood of Jesus, because of the name of Jesus. And God, we want to say thank you for turning all these things around. We stand by faith. We don't wait till we see it. Faith is believing before you see it. So we stand here today believing that everything we've asked for is done. God calls us to believe it. And so we stand here believing it, and we wait with expectation in our heart to see these things turn around. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 So there was a few more that came in.
Okay.
Okay. Heavy on my heart this morning is my dear friend, Miss Linda Wascom.
Okay.
This is my neighbor's friend, my neighbor's mom, the one that we found hanging in the trailer next door.
Okay.
She just had her birthday, and it's the first birthday without him, his presence.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I know firsthand how that feels to go through the first.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
And then David Cox asked us to pray for his mom, who was back in the hospital on a ventilator in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And then Mandy Wagner, good morning, Mandy, asked us to pray for those suffering in excruciating pain, including herself and her left hip.
Okay.
Lift up our nation.
Yes.
And the nursing home.
Okay.
And intercede that God bring people to him that doesn't know him yet.
Yes, praise
So if you
God.
Can read my scratch in there.
We got it. Father, we thank you and praise you for Linda. God, you know what she's going through. Father, you are the God of all comfort. And so, Father, we just call on you. God, we ask you to go and comfort Linda. We thank you that, God, you are able to do what we can't do. Father, we can stop by. We can call. We can actually visit. We can pray for her. But, God, we know that you are the one who's going to get in there. And, God, you're going to actually lift her up. And so, Father, we know the power of prayer. And so, God, right now we bring her her before you. Father, we lift your daughter to you. God, we ask you to comfort her right now. God, we ask you to give her the joy of the Lord so that she can be strengthened and come over this season. God, it is a moment. It is a moment. And God, it is a difficult moment. But God, it is not too much for us to bear when we're with you. God, you're able to give us what we need to come through. And we know it. We've seen people who've gone through this time and time again. And so we know that you're faithful to not only those people, but to Linda. I thank you and praise you, God, that you are with her. She's not alone. God, would you make it clear to her? God, would you just give her that supernatural joy that makes no sense in a time when she shouldn't have joy? God, she feels a joy deep in her spirit. God, that she'd feel a peace abiding in her spirit, even in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of grief, God, in the midst of even confusion and questions and doubts, God, there you are. I thank you. I just saw a picture of him with Linda. It's almost like there was, I just saw like this puddle of doubt, confusion, questions, sorrow, and grief. And I saw God sit down right in the middle of it. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you that you're going to begin to bring clarity. You're going to begin to give some answers to her. They're going to settle her heart. God, that you're going to begin to give her a supernatural peace. God, a love that she's never felt. God, it's going to be a love beyond anything she could comprehend, anything, God. And so, Father, I thank you that you're with her and you're keeping her. I thank you for setting down in the midst of our difficult places, God, in that place where it feels like sometimes no hope can be found, but you set down right in it and you bring life. Because God, it says, is love, but it also says he is life. And so, God, we know that life has just shown up in Linda. Life has just shown up in her circumstances. Love has just overtaken those circumstances. And God, we thank you for it. We just give you praise for that. There's no one like you. I love you and adore you. I just am so blessed when you come and show up in our situations. So thank you, Father. Make yourself known to her today. Father, we want to lift up David Cox and Father, we are praying for his mother. You know that she's on the ventilator. God, you know what's going on. Father, we don't know the details, but you do. And Father, we lift up Linda, David Cox's mom. He didn't say her name. No. You know her. So God, we just lift up this mother. God, I thank you that she is your daughter. God, you created her. God, you care for her. Father, she's in the palm of your hands. And so Father, I want to ask you to give David peace right now. Father, thank you for the peace that's coming over David right now. That's what I heard the Spirit say. David, be at rest. Be at peace. God is with your mother. She's not alone. He's got her. And just keep on just ministering to her, David. God, give David the right now words fitly spoken in due season. I just seen David like whispering in her ear. I don't know if David can even hear us or if he's even with us. But God, I ask you to send word to David to keep on whispering in her ear. Keep on speaking into her. Keep on speaking life. Speak the word into her. Speak love. Speak all of that over her because she's hearing it. That's what I heard the Spirit say. It's going into her spirit. She's hearing it. So Father, right now we ask you to turn this situation around. God, we ask right now that you would cause her to come off the ventilator, that her lungs would begin to be strengthened. We speak to these lungs and we command them to be whole in Jesus' name. Blood of Jesus, do the work of cleansing her lungs. Anything that's causing trouble, there. I don't know why she's on the ventilator, but you do. And so Father, cause her to be able to breathe on her own. Cause her to be able to live again on her own. Cause her brain to function normal. God, everything in her body, bring it back to life. God, we speak life over this body, life over every organ. We command you to wake up in Jesus' name. Do what you were created to do. All death trying to come upon her before her time, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. It is the Lord who numbers her days, and you will not have her, and you will not take her before her time. We claim and call forth every day, every second that she was ordained to walk out. We thank you, God, that she will not go before her time. And God, we thank you that we can call on you in such a time as this and know that you're not only hearing, but you're answering. And so we thank you that she will walk out every day, every second she was ordained to walk out. Now, Father, let that give David peace in his heart and mind. Father, we want to lift up Mandy to you right now. God, you know that she's been battling excruciating pain in her hip. God, she's been having trouble there. But Father, right now, we know that you're able to bring her out of that right now. So Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus. Blood of Jesus, go through her body, cleanse anything out that's causing trouble. I command all inflammation to go down. I command it to leave her body right now in Jesus' name. God, anything that's out of whack, put it back in place right now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to drive out the pain. Pain, we command you to leave this body right now in Jesus' name. God, anything that Mandy needs to know, why this is going on. Father, you are the God of all wisdom. In fact, the Bible says Jesus is our wisdom. So right now, Jesus, give her the wisdom she needs. If there's anything that she needs to know, anything that she needs to do, God, I ask you to give it to her. And Mandy, sometimes that will come in just a thought. All of a sudden you'll go, oh, you know what? I might need to get such and such. God does that. I've watched him do it in my own life. So pay attention. Don't dismiss those things that come to your spirit. So, Father, I just ask you to show her anything that she needs to do, God, to continue to prevent this from coming back, God. I thank you that you're driving it out right now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you right now to be over the nursing homes. God, you, every nursing home, Father, I just pray that you put people in those places that really know you, love you, and can begin to do your work in that place. God, send those that are called to that place. I know sometimes people use it just as a job because we need a job. But God, I just ask you to send people into the nursing homes, God, that can that have your heart, because that causes them to really do their job with compassion. They're more patient. They have a heart for the people in there. So God, I ask you to begin to set those people in that place. And I thank you for those that are there. And God, if they don't have your heart for people, God, I ask you to begin to give them a heart for the people, that they would begin to have a compassion in that place. And Father, I just pray that there would be life sweep through every nursing home. I ask for the life of God to sweep through the nursing home. God, send vessels in there that will bring your spirit into those nursing homes. God, I know that there's even been an attack even on nursing homes trying to drive out the spirit of God, trying to drive out Christian people, messengers, preachers, worship people that go in those places. But God, I ask you to give them an avenue back in there, that life can begin to spring up in there, that life would be in that place where it makes no sense. Father, we thank you for it. Now, God, I want to ask you to be over our nation. God, we do ask that, God, you would turn this nation back to you. And I believe it starts with a revival in the church. I know that you can come on and move on in our government, but I believe that's only going to happen as a revival comes. God, that takes place as you begin to change the hearts of men and women and children in this nation. So, God, we're asking right now, we come in agreement that, God, we know your heart is to bring revival to America. And so, God, we ask you to do this. God, we ask you to birth it into this nation. And God, let it start right here. God, let it move right here. Father, it's going to start with us. And so, God, we ask you to do it in us. Whatever needs to be done, we're here. We say, have us. Take all of us. We lay ourselves down so you can have us and do whatever you need to do. God, if it's that we need to lay for hours in prayer, then teach us how to do it. Cause us how to do it. God, we don't know how to do it. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray for 5 minutes, but you're the one who can cause us to do it. So, Father, cause it to happen. Cause the souls to turn around. God, send the great grace that the lost can be saved. God, send it out there. Send the word, God. Send out your word, your living water, that they would begin to get, they'd begin to see it. It just trickle by their houses and they'd come out to get a drink. God, that they'd be drawn to your people. They'd be drawn to the house of God, because life is coming from that place. And God, we give you glory that you're going to do it. If you put it in our heart and it's a desire, it's because you put it there. And God, we know that you're the one who's going to bring this to pass. And we give you all glory and all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Bardice of Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We hope.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Woo, what a message.
Praise
now,
God.
I'm ready to eat some more,
yes,
sister.
Yes.
But before we get back to the table, would you be so kind and would you share information about your church, location, service times, anything that you would like to share with the people?
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, we are the Refuge Church, and we are the Refuge in New Liberty, at New Liberty. We've joined with them in Sayre, Oklahoma. It is, I think it's 18304 East 1140 Road. Hey, I'm getting it down. Praise God. And a lot of times you can just type in your phone, New Liberty, and it'll take you right to it. And so we are really at the stoplight in Sayre. You go 5 miles west, which is towards Sweetwater. And then you, no, I'm sorry, 4 miles west, and then 5 miles on the Blacktop Road. You go 5 miles on that Blacktop Road to the north, okay? Never been good with directions. So we'd love to have you come out. God is really moving. If you don't have a home church, please come join us. God is moving. We're just hungry and just really seeking God to come and do a work in the community and bring the lost in. And so we're really focused in on that. Our times are Sunday morning is Sunday school is at 10. Service starts at 10:45, and then we have we're having corporate prayer. We just started this corporate prayer on Sunday night at 5, where we're calling out to God for revival. And then at 6 o'clock we are starting our Bible study. And then on Wednesday we have our Merge youth group starts at the same time. So we all start at 7. But we also have a soaking time of prayer on Tuesday night at 6 to 9 available, come and go. And then, so I think that covers it all. We have Sunday school, all that for, and youth groups from the young to the old. So come join us. We'd love to have you. God is on the move. We always say, come where the glory of God changes everything.
Amen. Birthing revival.
Yes, praise God.
And we can go over.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump right into the scriptures, and I don't have many scriptures, so we maybe, well, I say that. Yeah. I'm going to run through it. It's good. It's good. We're gonna really. There's a message he has, and if I get that message out, that's all that matters. Yeah. So the message is that we need to get back to calling on to God, calling out to God, so that we can see revival be birthed in. Okay, Genesis 4 is where we're gonna read 25-26. It says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth, for God said, she hath appointed me." Oh, she said, okay, I messed it up. She said, "He hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos." Then, I want you to catch that, "then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Okay, so we see something shift here. Before there was even a Bible available, before we had a worship team, before we had preachers and teachers and apostles and evangelists, before we had all of that, men began to call on the name of the Lord. That's prayer. They begin to seek God. And so God wants us to understand that there was, the man who wrote the book, he talks about this. He talks about how there was two separate groups of people. He said there was really just two kinds of people. There was the kind who sought God and the kind who did not. He said you're in one of two groups. You're either seeking God or you're not. You're either calling on God or you're not. See, to call on God takes humility. Remember how he talks about those who humble themselves and will call on my name, seek my face, I'll heal their land. You see, God can move when man calls on his name, when man humbles himself. But in order to pray, it takes humility, right? Oh, well, we know the Pharisees, they stood up and they could pray, and they could pray great prayers, and they looked great and they sounded great. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather have a person who feels like they do not know how to pray, but they've got the heart of the Father, pray five words, than to have someone who prays for an hour, who prays eloquently and seems to say the best things but has no heart. See, it's the heart that moves God. In fact, there's a passage, 1 Samuel 16:7. It tells us that God is looking on the heart of man. He's coming after the heart. See, I want you to know there are people who say, "I don't know how to pray." Come on. All you got to do is release your heart. What's in your heart? Just talk to God. That's all it is. Just release your heart. Now, I believe in going further and getting the word and beginning to speak the word out, because he says, "My word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it was sent forth to do." So ask God to teach you how to pray. Did the disciples not say, "Lord, teach us how to pray"? So you can ask the same thing. "Father, teach me how to pray." And he will. So just begin to grow in that. But don't wait till you got this all figured out. I'm telling you, God is moved by the heart, okay? He's not moved by fancy, perfect prayers. He's moved by the heart. So he looks after the heart. In fact, it even says in Matthew 15:8 that he said he was looking at the heart again, because he said, "Your heart was far from me." He said, "Oh, you're saying the right thing. You're saying all these things. It's coming out of your lips." But he said, "The heart is far from me." See, it's the heart that's going to move him. Saints, I don't always know exactly what to pray, but I'm just praying from the heart. I'm just pouring my heart out of God. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And God, we see David. Why do we love to go to the Psalms so much? Because David just spoke from the heart. He literally just spoke from the heart. And so that is what God is calling us to do in this hour. Be a person who calls on the name of the Lord, okay? And so God said, if my people who are called by my name will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and will humble themselves, he said, I'll hear them, okay? Now Jesus has done the work, and now when we come to Christ, all we got to do is be humble enough to call out, and he hears us, amen? He said, I'll come and do the work you're asking me to do. And so Deuteronomy 4:7. I want to look at that real quick. Deuteronomy 4:7. And I'm kind of flying through this because I just want to get you, the scriptures so you can hear the scriptures. Deuteronomy 4:7 says this: "For what nation is there so great who has God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?" Did you catch that? He's saying that the Lord is near and does the work on Israel's behalf because they call on him. The key to Israel's success was prayer, calling on the name of the Lord. Anytime they called on him, he showed up. Amen. Anytime they went ahead of them, we see it in scripture. There was times that they said, oh, the Lord will do this. The Lord is with us. And they went on ahead and they'd go on ahead. And guess what? God was not with them. See, you got to call on the name of the Lord, get his instructions, and then move. Amen? We're not trying to do the best thing we know how. We say, well, I think this is what'll work. I think we'll do this. I think this is how to reach the people. No, 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 no. We don't need to give any of our opinions until we've got on our knees. Amen? When we get on our knees and we begin to say, God, what is your plan? What do I need to do? God, how do I do this? Sometimes he might just say, stay on your knees. Keep seeking my face. Keep seeking my face until you hear him say, get up and go do this. Get up and go do that. Get up and start this. You see, that's what I'm learning to do, guys. I'm with you. I'm not saying that I've learned this all and I've done this all the way. No, no, no. I'm saying God's telling me, Tammy, this is how you're going to get it done. This is how you're going to get it done. I ain't changed. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I did it for Israel, I'll do it for you. See, we just got to seek God. And so I'm taking that very serious, saints. Turn to Psalm 14. Psalm 14, verse 2 is where I want to go here. Psalm 14, verse 2 through 4. Okay. It says in 14, verse 2, it says here, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? Did you catch that? He said there was a group of people who were not calling on the Lord. They were eating God's people for bread, but they were not calling on the Lord. God was not pleased with them. He said he was looking for those who were seeking his face. And so we can learn from this that one of the characteristics of godless people is that they're actually people who do not call on the Lord. One of the characteristics of godly people is they call on the Lord, praise God. And so you can do many things in the earth. You can do many mighty things. And it can look great, and you can look in the world like you've done a great deal. But if you have not called on the Lord, you've missed it entirely. Do you catch that? See, God views success different. God says the one who he sees successful is the one who knows to call on his name. Woo! See, somebody out there thinks that they're a nobody. But God said, I want to tell you right now, you're doing more than Bill Gates is doing. Amen? He said, you're doing more than all these people sitting in high places that everybody looks at that they've been successful. He said, child, you're doing more because you've been calling on my name. He said, it may not be seen yet, child. He said, but the fruit is coming. And people are going to begin to see the fruit of that. And he said, there will be a day that you'll stand before me. And he said, all of heaven, all of hell, and all of earth is going to know what you've been doing. He said, because I've been watching. You've been in secret, and you've been seeking my face. And he said, daughter, I'm going to reward you. He said, I'm going to reward you. And he said, I'm going to reward you openly. You're going to begin to see the things you've been asking me for. Man, can you believe it? An 82-year-old, an 84-year-old, I want to be just like those ladies. Amen? They were seeking God till 3 in the morning. I said, boy, I got some growing up to do. Amen? They're seeking him. And I know, praise God, they probably had the time, you know. But sometimes when we're 82 and 84, we think, well, my time is over. No, it's not. No, it's not. See, we need these people who have that kind of time to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the woman that sat up through the night and prayed. Whatever God's asking you to do, you still have a place. You still have a point in the earth. Amen. If God ain't called you home, you ain't done. You ain't done. So let's look at, I want to look at Acts 4:31. I'm getting close. I really am. I'm trying to run right through these. Acts 4:31. See, many times we view prayer as something that we do when we need God. Otherwise, it's not as important. And sometimes we might pray over our food or when we get into a pickle, something like that. But it doesn't go much further than that. And do you know statistically that the prayer services in churches are the lowest, have the lowest attendance? They do. They do. And can we wonder why the world is in the state she's in? Because history has shown us that when the body begins to pray, and God's word even says it, when the body begins to get back to prayer, something changes. Amen? And so it can't be this way anymore. I believe God is calling the body back to prayer. And he's been calling for a long time. We've heard voice after voice after voice say this. But it's time that the body put some feet to the word. It's been spoken, but now we need to do it. It's not the hearers that are justified, but the doers. See, it's not those who hear it but don't do it are being deceived. We're not seeing what we've been asking God for because we're not doing it. God is saying, I've given you the solution. Put your feet to the ground and get it into action, saints of God. It's time. We've got to come back to this. Let's not just preach it. Let's do it. Let's not just talk about it. Let's do it. Pastors, if you hear my voice, I'm begging you to call for corporate prayer again. Call for it. Call for it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's begin to do it. And let's not do it one time. Let's make it a weekly thing. Body of Christ, if you're hearing this, don't just hear the call to prayer. Be willing to go. Don't say, it's not my calling. It's somebody else's. No, everybody is called to prayer. Everybody. And so I want to look at Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31. A lot of times we do personal prayer, which is wonderful, important, and you absolutely need it. But I want to see what happens when corporate prayer takes place. And when they had prayed, notice this was corporate prayer. And when they had come together and prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither did any of them that had anything say it was their own, but they had all things in common, and with great power, that supernatural power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any of them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as had need. I want you to catch. There are so many things in there, and I'm not even going to go through the rest of all these verses. I'm going to close with this because I want you to grab a hold of what was just seen here. When they begin to have corporate prayer is when walls begin to shake. See, we want prayer to take place, but we don't want to pray. God said, come back together and I'll shake some walls again. He said, I'm going to begin to do something that you've been asking for. This is what I saw in the Spirit. There are so many prayers that have gone up to heaven. It's like overfilled, but they've not come forth because the people weren't willing to come together and say, we'll birth this thing in. But I'm telling you, when we get a hold of this, something's about to happen. I'm telling you, every prayer that we've been asking for, if we'll come together corporately, I saw it like a pregnant belly. It was like bursting at the seams. And all these prayers have gone up personally. But he said, when my people, and it's through the ages, he said, when my people will come back together and begin to call out and cry out to me, he said, I'm about to break open that womb. And these things are going to come in. And it's going to be more glorious than we could ever imagine. But I want you to see this. He said this. He said, that's when the walls begin to shake. He said, that's when the word of God went forth with boldness. Mm-hmm. See, we've been asking God to do this. We've been asking God to send forth this word boldly. That God, I'm just not bold enough. How many of us have prayed? I just need more boldness, Lord. I just need to be able to speak your word. Me. Me. I just need to be able to speak your word. God, give me the boldness. Do you see what happened? It said, after they had come together and prayed, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, this was after the day of Pentecost. They'd already been filled. This is another infilling. So in spite of thinking that we only get filled one time, no. We need to be filled to the full with the Holy Ghost. And when we come together and pray, something happens like that. And it said, and they then began to speak the word with boldness. Do you understand that? The word of God goes forth after we come together and corporately pray. Catch on to the next thing. And the multitude of them that believed. I want you to get it. There was a multitude that began to believe. There's the belief is coming. Those who are lost and need to be saved, they're going to begin to believe as we come together in corporate prayer. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. Do you know of one soul? I've been praying, God, make us one heart. Make us one soul. Make us of one mind. He said, Tammy, come together in corporate prayer. The body is in disarray. The body is divided. That's why we have all these different places. Now, I don't say anything negative about that because we couldn't all come into one place. We know that. But this person's upset with this person. We don't attend with these people, and they don't attend with these people because we don't think this and we don't think that. And we're all divided. And he said, but if my people will come together again and they'll begin to corporately pray, he said, guess what? I'm going to bring back together one heart and one mind. See? Oh my gosh, do you know what the Bible says? That when we have one heart and one mind, do you know what we can do? What happened when the people who were not saved were trying to build Babylon? They came into unity. They had one heart and one mind, the Bible said. And look what God said, I got to stop this because they won't be stopped. They won't be stopped. And the church says, I don't know what's going on. We're praying. No. We've got to come together. No more division. I'm done with the division. I'm sick and tired of the division. God is, he's sickened at the division. The only way we're going to come together is if we choose to lay ourselves down. Because I'm going to have to die to my opinion. I'm going to have to die to my frustration. I'm going to have to die to my wound and my hurt. And I'm going to have to come on in with you and say, you know what, brother, that ain't worth all that. You know what? Let's just lay all that down because we want the greater cause of Christ to come in. And so he said, when we begin to pray, he's going to bring us into one heart and one mind. Go on to the next thing. It said, and any of them that had anything which they possessed that was their own, they gave it to the body, and they had all things in common. So what he said is any of them that had, I want you to go on down to verse 34. Neither was there any of them that lacked. Are we lacking some things? People are saying, I don't have this, I don't have that. God, I need this, I need that. Do you understand that when the body comes together corporately like this and begins to pray, no one will lack? We lack because we're divided. When we come together united, there will be no lack. Can you grab a hold of this? We said, well, it can't be done this day and hour. There's too much division. There's too many separation. No. They did it in this time. It can be done this time. I'm saying, I believe there is to be a corporate body come together to pray. I don't know what this looks like. There is a birthing forth of this. I don't know. It may be that, Lord, we're going to call forth a prayer time in the community of Sarah. There needs to be one in the community of Elk where we just come together and pray. Ain't nobody got to preach. Ain't nobody got to sing. We're going to come together and we're going to pray. Okay, because when we start doing that, sometimes what I find is everybody starts getting jealous because they want to be the preacher or they want to be the singer, and there's all this stuff. Okay, but God said, how about we just come together and start praying and see what God will do in a community? And so I don't know who will come. Yeah, there's going to be those who say, I'm not going to that. You know, we don't participate in that, and they don't believe what we do and blah, blah, blah. Well, let them stay by the wayside. I pray they come in, but I'm going to go and I'm going to gather with those who say, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. I'm going to lay everything to the side so we can see God come and break off addiction off communities, break off the suicide, break it off, break off broken marriages. It's time to see some things change, and it ain't going to happen till we come together. But he said, when we come together, glory to God, in verse 33, and I'll close, he said, and with great power, the supernatural power began to come on the leaders of the house, but I believe it's to come on the body entirely. And with great supernatural power, they begin to give witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Grace is what is going to enable us to do what we cannot do. I want you to know that God is calling us in this hour to corporate prayer. And I'm asking you to join in, find people that you can get together and start corporately praying. God is the one who's going to have to open our heart to this. So I want to close with prayer today, if we could do that. I want to say this, that one of the things that started this was the title of I don't remember where it was, somewhere in that book. It might have just been a chapter or something. But it said, prayer begets revival. Prayer begets revival. Now, the word beget means this. It means to bring a child into existence. So you can say prayer brings revival into existence by the process of reproduction. It gives rise to revival. Prayer is going to bring about and procreate revival. We know the Father is the source of procreation in natural life, but the Heavenly Father is the source of revival. We've got to, I believe we've been, the body's been impregnated with revival. I believe it, but she's got to birth it. And prayer is going to be the key to birthing forth that revival. And so as we call on the name of the Lord, prayer is going to be dropped into our communities, and we're going to begin to see lives changed. I believe we're going to begin to see people saved. And so can we close with prayer?